Some longtime federal employees in the federal employee retirement system who aren't 62 when they retire have access to the FERS supplement. Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning and has ideas on when you should use it and why it's different from other benefits you might have. Tammy, I read your piece and it strikes me this is a classic case of don't know what you got, and a lot of folks just let this fly away, don't they?
That's true, Francis. Yeah, I find in my travels around the government agencies that there are quite a few employees who come to find out that this is a big surprise for them when they retire, that they knew about the TSP, they even knew they might have had a FERS retirement benefit, but the idea of having a FERS supplement is sometimes a nice, pleasant surprise.
How does it work? I mean, it sounds like a really neat deal if it works out for somebody.
Sure, yeah. In the private sector, believe it or not, they used to have these, and I think probably some big companies might still offer them if there's a defined benefit pension. But in the private sector, they used to be called a bridge payment, which I like that name because it really describes what it does. The whole purpose of the FERS supplement is to bridge the time from your retirement, let's say as young as maybe age 50, until you qualify for Social Security at age 62. So whether you retire as a law enforcement officer at age 50 or you retire as a FERS employee maybe at 60 with 20 years of service, that third tier of FERS, which is Social Security, is not available to you until you turn 62. So this helps get you to that point in time if you want to be fully retired at a younger age.
Is there a formula for the rules, or are the rules pretty straightforward?
Well, yeah, like anything else in the government, it's a little bit complicated. But there's a simple way to think about it. You can think that that supplement in today's dollars is going to be worth somewhere between $40 and as much as $60 a month for every year that you have under FERS. So if you work 10 years under FERS, that would be somewhere between $400 to $600 a month. If you work 20 or 30 years, you know, it'd be that much more. So it's a pretty substantial amount of income to help you create enough income to replace the salary that you lost when you retired. So it's a nice benefit, and people really do appreciate it.
How do you go about making sure that you get it once you discover that you're entitled to it? I mean, is it something you have to ask for?
Yeah, that's the good thing. So if you're eligible for it, you're going to receive it. Now, keep in mind that even though it's part of the FERS retirement, only about 40% of the people who retire under FERS get it. And that's because if you're already 62, you're going to collect the real thing. You're going to apply for Social Security. And if you take an early out, like the VERA, VSIP, where the agencies might be downsizing, you're not going to receive it until you reach the FERS minimum retirement age, so you might not get it for a few years. And disability retirees and deferred retirees don't get it. So it's only that sweet spot of people who retire with an immediate unreduced benefit. So they're at that normal retirement age with 30-plus years, or maybe at 60 if they have 20-plus. That's the ones that will get it, but it's paid automatically with their FERS retirement by the Office of Personnel Management.
Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director at the National Institute of Transition Planning and writing about the supplement in her latest column in GovExec. We have a link to that, Tammy, at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. This is raising the interest of some people in Congress, though, isn't it? It's not something that may stick around forever, you write.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been raised by Congress as an issue for a number of years now, and so far, it hasn't been affected. So it's still there. It's currently not on the table as the chopping block table, but we are warned that that's not necessarily going to be forever. So it is something that's at risk of being taken away at some point in time. And the question then would be, would it be taken away prospectively just for new hires, or would current employees need to worry about that? And I think it could go either way. We just don't have any good feel for that just yet. But it's certainly something don't get too excited about, it just in case something does happen to it.
So you cite some good advice from our friend Jessica Clement in this piece. The most recent House budget is not the last time, Jesse says, that we'll hear about this proposal being slated for elimination. However, I wouldn't base retirement decisions on what Congress might do. And you confirm that's really good advice, isn't it?
Exactly, because I hear that a lot, and I worry about people making decisions because they live in fear of what's going to be taken away by Congress. And the reality is, and we've talked about this before, Francis, where over the recent history, most of the changes that Congress makes are actually benefiting federal employees. And I know some people might say, you know, how so? But you look at the TSP and how it's evolved and been made better and more flexible for employees. You've looked at things like pay changes and not the pay freeze, of course, but other ways of managing the workforce that have really caused improvements. FEHB is going to have a self plus one option next year. So I wouldn't make any decisions based on what might happen in the future, because it might never happen, or it might happen 20 years from now. So that is good advice.
The idea of something that might happen, is that something that has made an impact on federal employees for a long time? Is this something that's been on their minds for a long time? Because Mike Causey cites that memo.
1985 memo.
Yeah, what is that, the high three to high five memo?
We all carry that around. Yeah, because I don't know where it was. I was, I guess, at Department of Air Force way back 30 years ago, and I saved it. And it was a memo warning the employees about proposed changes in Congress, about changing the high three to high five and changing the way we pay for federal health insurance and getting rid of the retirement COLA. And those same proposals are talked about today just like they were 30 years ago. And fortunately, none of them have come to pass. And we just always put a little pause there and say yet, because at some point they might come to pass. So we can't always just assume that just because it never happened, it won't. But hopefully those people who lobby on behalf of federal employee benefits will convince Congress that federal employees are worth protecting those benefits for.
I appreciate the insight on this. You're amazing that you know all of this stuff, and you are I just really appreciate having you come on, Tammy.
Well, thank you, Francis. We all appreciate what you do.
Happy to do it.